Hello, everyone. Welcome to Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And this is Emily. And we have another week of chatting about the Golden Bachelorette.
That's right. We sure do. And I personally just finished this episode like 10 minutes ago. There were two things shocking about it. Number one, Mark, our beloved Mark, exiting the show. Mark. Charles L's best friend, Kelsey's dad. Mark, the man, the myth, the legend, he's gone.
R.I.P.
The number two shocking thing about this episode. I couldn't believe my eyes. Pascal was steaming his own laundry.
He doesn't have anyone left to do it.
He doesn't. They all bit the dust. And another thing about that, too, is remember your prediction of like, oh, he knows how to do all this stuff. It's just a power move to get the guys to do it, or he just doesn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. You were correct.
He knows. He just wanted to see how long he could get someone else to do his laundry.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Because he's out. He's not even like, okay, like ironing and washing and folding. That's one thing. But like you're steaming it. Yeah. You know what you're doing if you're steaming your clothes.
And also the fact that he is steaming his clothes. Like he went the extra yard. Like it's such a Pascal thing to have his clothes steamed.
So I have a question for you because I think that you know, and I don't know, but I've heard rumblings of Guy, something with Guy and Instagram.
Yes. So the beginning of this season, we already knew that Gil had the restraining order against him. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're coming off the back end of Gen Tran season with Devin Strader and that whole debacle with the restraining order.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's come to light that Guy had a restraining order request.
Mm-hmm.
So it never went through. I think they just decided, oh gosh, I can't even remember. They just decided on like a non-contact agreement.
Okay.
But here's basically what it said in the Daily Mail article that I read.
Okay.
He was accused of domestic violence in October 2021 with an ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She put in a restraining order request. In that request, it said that he physically tried to threaten her and basically said one of the things was that he made like a finger gun at her and like acted like he was shooting her. And that he had like stopped her outside of her car or something. Like it was all very vague and, kind of confusing on like what exactly went down. So I don't actually know what exactly went down.
Like it's up for interpretation a little
bit. Yes, exactly. And also like her friend was with her when this happened, but apparently the friend had like put her head down. So didn't see any of this happen. So there's rumblings about that, whatever. But anyway, in September of this year, him and his ex tried to get that sealed.
Okay.
That request sealed. And we filmed in July and August. So they get back and then they try to seal it. And basically because he didn't want to be harassed
by like audience. The public?
Okay. Yes. By the public. He didn't want to be harassed over it. And like she had agreed to seal it. Because they knew he just gotten off of a TV show, had done well in it, and they knew he was going to get some kind of backlash for this. And he didn't want, he basically said for his safety, because, you know, people will send death threats over stuff.
Oh, yeah. They'll send death threats over way, way less.
Exactly. And so I get, like, why they tried to get it sealed, but I don't think, like, they had enough time to do it.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Well, has the ex come out and spoken about it publicly?
I haven't seen anything about it. The only thing that I've seen is that like she did try to help get it sealed.
Okay.
And then Guy kind of put on his Instagram this like post. Let me pull it up real quick. After people started finding this out, mm-hmm. as they do, the sleuths of Bachelor Nation.
Right.
Had figured it out. Okay, Guy. He posted this to his Instagram. I would like to respond to articles about a personal matter from 2021. This was an unfortunate situation that occurred during an incredibly stressful time for me and my former spouse and was ultimately resolved when she voluntarily dismissed her request for a protective order. Together, we crafted a resolution that was agreeable to both parties. My ex-wife and I recently asked the court to seal her application for the protective order as we had hoped to maintain privacy for our family. But I know that with being in the public eye comes responsibility. My ex-wife and I were married for 34 years and in that time had 4 children who we raised together and deeply love. They are my greatest accomplishment. My divorce was extremely difficult for me and led me to a very low point in my life. And as a result, I acted in a way that does not represent who I am. The past few years have caused me to conduct a deep personal evaluation, and I will always continue to work to improve myself.
Okay, interesting. Well, I didn't realize when you were saying all this that it was his wife of 34 years. Like, I was thinking, was it just like an ex that he dated after his wife?
That's what I was thinking. That's what that like Daily Mail article made it sound like, except kept saying ex-girlfriend, not ex-wife.
Really?
Yeah. So I wonder if that article was like early on that they didn't know who it was.
Maybe. But is it clear in what he's saying that the restraining order was from his ex-wife? Or was he just saying that he was going through a hard time when he divorced his ex-wife and therefore lashed out at other people?
No, I think because he says me and my former spouse ultimately resolved.
That's right.
The issue. So I think that it was, I think it was his ex-wife.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's really interesting because, well, okay, let's think of it this way. If you're applying to a job as like a teacher or something like that, and you even have like somebody trying to get a protective order against you on your background check, they're probably not even going to hire you, even if they don't necessarily think that you were completely in the wrong or you resolved the issue. And I think that from a pure business standpoint, I understand that, like, I believe him. If it was voluntarily dropped and it was just a really rough period and his ex-wife was working with him to try to get it sealed, then I agree he's probably not some monster. However, as a show, from a purely business perspective, financial perspective, all that, why are you casting people who have restraining orders or potential or like attempts at a protective order and stuff like that for like your own image? Why are you doing that?
Does that come up in a background check, like an attempt, even if it didn't get filed?
I don't know, but that was the whole thing with like Devin Strader, was that I think it's hard because to do a thorough background check and to see if anyone has ever had somebody try to get a protective order against them or did get a protective order against them, you have to search the records of every county that or city that they've ever lived in. And for these people who are like older, I know this was like recent and everything, I'm not sure if it would come up. Like, what if they're only, because then there's like, there's certain, and I know this because of my job now, we do background checks, but like if I wanted to pay our background check company more money, they would do a more thorough background check. Because as it stands, they're kind of just looking for criminal record, basically, and that's it. And if this protective order was never granted and ABC's background check company only does like the surface level, like, do you have a criminal record, then this kind of thing probably wouldn't come up, but I'm just speculating.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And he doesn't have a criminal record. Like, he's
right.
He hasn't been arrested. It's just that he had, I don't know. Yeah. He had a restraining order request, not even like filed against him, just a request. So I feel like that would be harder to find. But my next question for you is, does all of this blowing up make you think that Guy is the ring winner?
A little bit, yeah. But honestly, like, I don't necessarily see it on screen. But
did you see it on screen with Devin?
No, not really either.
I feel like what The Bachelor typically does is they really make you see it between the runner-up and the lead.
They do that. sometimes.
Yeah, because I felt it like with Joey and Daisy. I was like, holy crap, that he's definitely going to pick her. And then he picked Kelsey and I was like, wait, what? So I feel like they do that a lot where they try to like trick you. And it's almost like they try to get you rooting for the runner up because they might become the next lead of the show. That's what makes me believe that maybe Guy wins it and that Chalk is the runner up because like you can really see the connection between her and Chalk. You don't really see it with Guy. And I feel like normally the public doesn't really blow up about things like this.
Yeah.
Unless they're the winner. Like we saw it with Devin Strader. We saw it with Rachel Kirkconnell. We saw it with Gabby Wendy's ring winner. I can't even remember his name.
Me either.
But like they were all involved in some sort of controversy. And it was really prevalent during their airing of that season. And I feel like it's because they were the winner. Otherwise, people didn't care as much.
Yeah, that's true. But and that kind of scares me a little bit because I don't know that their ratings on this season are so far down from what the Golden Bachelor was. And they're also so far down from where Jen's season was and where Joey's season was. And I feel like a lot of people kind of tuned out after the whole Devin thing. And if he is the winner in the end, it's just not going to be a good look on the show, even if he is like just a good guy. And he probably is. I kind of refuse to make judgments of people like outside of what is shown on the screen because you just don't know what goes on. But at the same time, I can fully understand why it's a bad look and why. I mean, the viewing audience of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and The Golden series is like 95% women. So when you have words like domestic violence, restraining order, stuff like that being thrown around, that's not stuff that like the girlies want to be thinking about when they're watching their reality TV.
No, it's not at all. Like you just want a wholesome show. And I think they did a lot of things wrong for the ratings to be down. I think one thing was coming off of Jen Tran's season and that controversy with the restraining order on Devin and all of that. But I think another thing is like, I don't know about you. When I get to Wednesday, I'm exhausted.
Mm-hmm. And Survivor's on.
Yes, and Survivor's on. And we know that Survivor's ratings are like through the roof compared to the Golden Bachelorette. And I just feel like watching a 2-hour episode on a Wednesday, like it's hard for us. Like we do a freaking podcast about it and we still don't watch it until the weekend.
Yeah. Cause people have to get up in the morning to work and they're not going to, I don't know, especially like it with it being geared more towards older people probably too. It's like older people obviously go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
So that probably doesn't help.
Yeah. Well, I find myself like driving home on Mondays and I'm like so motivated for the week. And I'm like, man, I wish we had a podcast today. And I wish that the Golden Bachelorette came out today because I feel like I can really stay up and record and edit. Like I feel motivated for it.
Yeah.
And then I get to Wednesday and I feel it about Survivor, but then I'm like, oh my God, there's a whole nother show. Like I'm not even excited to watch it, if that makes sense. And I don't really know why I'm not excited to watch it, except for that I feel fatigued by that point in the week.
I'm excited to like learn what happens, but I don't necessarily want to sit there and watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Things I do want to watch though.
Mm-hmm.
Are these men on Instagram?
Oh, have you been peeking into their Instagrams?
I have. So their Instagrams, first of all, like I didn't even think that some of them had Instagrams. I don't know if they started them like after this, but they are popping off.
Really?
So while we have the like conspiracy theory about Guy winning because people are talking about his restraining order, I had the same conspiracy about Chalk winning because of his influencer Instagram he suddenly has.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know Joan is good. Like we
professional. Yes. Professional videos. It's crazy.
So I'm wondering if he wins and she's like, hey dude, we gotta get on this influencer thing. You gotta start making videos like this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Did you see Joan's
TikTok video or Instagram reel. One of the two is a video.
No. What are you talking about?
She's like, when you're running from the cops, but then they say that the suspect is a sexy grandma.
I did not see that. It has to be on her TikTok because I don't see it on her Instagram right now.
It's hilarious. And she stops and like flips her hair and puts her hands out like, here, cuff me.
Like, oopsie.
Yeah.
Oopsie. She's hilarious. I think that more people their age should do social media because they're honestly, they're at the point where they don't care so much about being perfect on there. Yes. And they're just trying to be funny. So,
so good. So good. But Chalk's been doing the same thing. He put out a video about his chocolate noodle soup recipe. And it looked like
that.
It looked like professionally shot.
Oh, 100%. I agree. Like, hello. Like, what is this? I'm showing you like his reels right now. And it's just ridiculously high quality. And I'm like, did you hire somebody or did you hire? Mm-hmm. Are you and Joan together? And she's mm-hmm. like helping you out with your social media. So we have two reasons to think that two different people are the ring winner. We've got Guy and his restraining order. And then we've got Chalk and his beautiful social media.
It's the spectrum. Fact that a restraining order means that you might win the season is so bad.
Hey, all you got to do is look at the stats, baby.
I know. Okay, so Chalk has 16,000 followers now.
Yeah.
Mark has 32, but Charles L.
I haven't looked at his followers in a couple days.
He has 34,700.
That's why. Oh, wait. His most recent reel is literally a reel of Nick Vial.
I was waiting for you to see it. He's on the Vial files.
Oh my gosh, no, I'm so behind.
I didn't notice until I was like, let me see how many followers Charles L has. And I looked it up and I was like, holy crap, he was on Vial files. Like,
yeah.
That's I huge. Hope so.
That's crazy. I hope somebody helps him with like his social media too, because he deserves the followers and he just needs to be an influencer.
He does.
So this episode kind of for me was all about the mark of it all.
The talk of it all last episode, the mark of it all this episode.
It's not chalk o'clock is in the past. Now it's mark o'clock. Well,
it's mark really. O'clock.
But okay. So he was like brooding in the house about his wife and
yes.
He wasn't sure if he was doing the right thing. That just makes me so sad because like it's been 6 years and I just it sucks to think of somebody feeling like that for like 6 whole years that they like yes. they can't move on.
Yes. And I pulled a clip from that part.
Mm-hmm. Shall we listen to it?
Yep. Here it is right here.
You know, it's hard. I lost Denise 6.5 years ago, and it still affects me, like, deeply it affects me. Kelsey would see a butterfly and it reminded her of her mom. And for Kelsey, that was the comfort. I feel a connection to Joan, but I'm losing hope. And I've looked really hard trying to find, am I doing the right thing? And I'm not seeing it. Throughout this whole thing, I've had this feeling like, am I doing the right thing? So, come on. This takes me a second. So, Denise, we had a hummingbird feeder, and she would sit like this with her hand open. I've never seen someone just holding their hand out for a hummingbird.
They come up and eat it?
I would stand. It would just sit in her hand.
I've never seen that either.
Amazing.
Denise, before she passed, she always said, you need to go find someone. You need to give someone your love. I believe that there's signs in the universe that tell you, right? That kind of help guide you. So now, when I'm out here walking, I stopped in my tracks, this hummingbird comes up, and I was like, I like trying to catch my breath, right? Because it's like she's there and she's saying this is right. There's a hummingbird. I froze and I took that as.
So that was our clip on sweet old Mark talking about how he sees signs in the universe. And mm-hmm. one of those signs is a hummingbird for him.
Yeah. And he, like we said, was wondering if this was right. He was wondering if he was making the right move by staying in the house and pursuing Joan. And then he sees that hummingbird, and to him, it was like, okay, no, I'm doing the right thing. And he even spoke to Pascal and Jordan about it. That was just, the whole moment was really sweet.
And he's like crying. He like has a paper towel and he's like wiping his face off.
He is so quiet and so like emotionally, I think he has a lot of emotional depth that
yeah.
it's just like a little deeper under the surface than a lot of the other guys. And he just seems like he has like a really, really pure soul. Like he's just looking for his hummingbirds. He's thinking about his deceased wife and he's trying to open up to the guys because, I mean, that's what they need in this moment. Think about yes. that. They don't have their phones or anything. They need to lean on each other. And it seems like they were.
Yes. Is that a hummingbird in the picture behind you?
Yes, it is. No, it's a sparrow. It's a sparrow.
Oh my gosh. I thought it was a hummingbird. And I was like, yeah. No freaking way. Your picture on the wall is a hummingbird.
It's a sparrow. I forgot about that. I have owls. I have owls on the other side.
Oh, gosh. Do you believe in signs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that for me, I love the number 111. And so, like, whenever I see that, I just feel like, oh, okay, comfort, like luck.
Yes. Okay, so for the listeners, our family has a weird thing about the number 54 and that it's, like, a bad number. And I don't know why, but like for the past, almost a year, about the past 10 months, I keep seeing the number 54.
Oh, lovely.
I know. I see it. It's like, I'll be like driving down the road and I'll look down at my GPS and it'll say 5.4 miles to the exit. And I'm like, yeah. Why did I have to look right at 5.4? Like, why?
That's why you need like to pick a good luck number so that you'll see that too. And it'll yes. counterbalance it.
Yes. And I used to get so mad. So my friend in Charlotte talked about how like she saw a sign that told her that she was like going to marry the guy that she's with. And now she has a baby and she saw a sign that like she was pregnant before she knew she was pregnant, like all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, girl, can you like get some signs going for me? Like,
yeah,
I will ask the universe for signs. And they're like, nah, girl, you're good.
Yeah, you figure it out.
Yeah, you figure it out on your own. It's like, I want to believe in science and I do believe that like everything happens for a reason. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm looking too hard for signs, but like I can never see a sign.
It's almost like you can't just like ask a question. For me anyway, I can't just be like, tell me what I need to do about XYZ. It's more like, let me know if I'm on the right track in life or not. Oh, whereas, so like when I see like little signs here and there, it's like, okay, I'm on the right track, or like, okay, I'm not on the right track. And
okay,
but it's gotta be more vague about it, I feel like.
Yeah, well, for her, she was like debating like, who am I supposed to be with? Am I supposed to be with this guy or not? And literally she said she got done like asking for that sign and she checked her phone and she had a text message from the guy that was like, no, I want to be with you.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you asked and you received.
That stuff never happens to me.
No, me either. That's why I was like, can you like ask for me? See if you get a text message. I don't
know. Yeah. Yeah, you got the link up to the universe. You have the universe's phone number or something.
She got it on speed dial or something.
For real. Okay, so Mark gets the one-on-one, and we know this because he wasn't on the group date card. And he's really closed off and quiet. We talked about this already, but he's just a quieter, more reserved person. And they're on a boat, and they get a letter from Jesse, and it's a scavenger hunt. And the scavenger hunt kind of helps them open up. It asks them questions and stuff like that. And they do eventually open up, and they talk about Denise. But there was one thing I wanted to point out before they talked about Denise was that Mark was talking about how healing it was for him to talk to the guys in the mansion. And Joan was like, I don't have anyone to talk to. I'm just like brooding in my head all day. And for the love of God, I wish one of these guys would be like, okay, well, let's talk about you.
Yes.
How are you feeling about your deceased husband? Like, how is this process for you? Blah, blah, blah. But none of them do. It drives me crazy. Like, they're such sweet. And I think some guys, they're used to women just yapping, like, about how they feel regardless. And so they're like, oh, women are always just as open as they want to be at that moment. So I don't need to try to open them up. Whereas I feel like Joan is the kind of woman that you have to try to open her up in order to get her to be vulnerable.
I also feel like that it is the difference in it being like The Bachelorette, because all these guys are thinking about is, I have limited time and I need her to get to know me because it's her decision.
Yeah.
And they're not really thinking of, I need to get to know her, or even I'll build this connection even further if I do get to know her. Like, I feel like they're just so worried about telling their story to her.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they really do just assume that she's a very strong woman. She's kind of moved past the things with her, with John, the death and everything, and that she is here to make her decision, not. And like, so they're like, they're trying to give her all the information that possible for her to like make a decision. Whereas what she really needs is like for everybody to build as strong of a connection as possible for her to be able to choose which connection is best. And just info dumping on somebody like, hey, here's everything about me, and not really reciprocating it is not really building a connection. And I don't think like any of them have bad intentions or anything. They're all super sweet. It's just that she's mentioned it a couple times. And of course, she doesn't want to have to be like, look, somebody comfort me, somebody listen to me, somebody make me feel seen. Like, she doesn't want to have to put it all out there like that. But she gives hints. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah. No, I think she does. And I feel like if they had more time with her, maybe they would get to that point. I just feel like they'd never have enough time to like actually truly get to know each other.
I agree. They did at least connect on their spouses dying. It was very sad. He told her about the hummingbird. And also, there was no one-on-one rose during this day or Keith's day.
No. And I think they purposely did that. Well, obviously, they purposely did that because both of them go home.
Yeah.
But she did kind of like mention at the beginning of the episode when she was talking to Trista, like there would be no roses this week, like on the group date or the one-on-ones. And I was like, ooh. But I feel like they honestly did this because if they had given it to one of the four people that she wanted to go to hometowns, like the one-on-one date, we would have had another situation of like the guys, like Keith and Mark, spiraling and being like, why am I here?
Yeah.
And so we would have just gotten that conversation twice. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to like actually see if there was something between them, like we had to see the one-on-one date. Like, I like the decision.
I do too. And I actually like, think that the week going into hometowns is one of the more high stakes weeks of the season, and it being like a toss up between any of them, like it truly felt like it could have been any four of them, was really, really, really entertaining. Like, it kept you on the edge of your seat. Whereas if she had already given out two or three roses, well, you're like, okay, I probably know the last one or two guys that she's gonna pick.
Yeah. And usually, like, so she had two one-on-ones and a group date. So if she had given out three roses, she only would have one at the rose ceremony. Like, it just didn't, the math didn't math. So she had to like, they had to do something different.
But their date went really well, according to both of them. But what does she do? She comes back into the mansion the next day. So we're all like, okay, what the heck? I mean, I think people who have watched the show for a long time are like, I know what's about to happen.
Yeah, exactly. You can see the writing on the wall.
Yes, you can. And did you notice that the couch where she dumped him on was the couch where Hannah Brown dumped ABC Cam?
No.
Yeah, it was the same couch, and it was literally the, like, remember right after
how did you even notice that?
I don't know, because I'm crazy, because I love that scene, because it's all about the pity rose. You know what I'm talking about, right? When Cam tells, like, the story of, like, his illnesses or something that he was in the hospital for, and then Mike comes over to Hannah Brown and is like, he's just trying to get a pity rose, and then so she's like, so I heard you're just trying to get a pity rose. And she dumps him and is on that couch. And I was like, this is history. This is a historical landmark that they're sitting on right now.
How dare they do that to Mark?
Well, maybe Mark would have stayed on longer if he remembered ABC, always be Cam.
Always be Cam.
But she basically just said she doesn't see herself with him. It was really sad because you could tell how upset she was to let him go. She cares about him. He cares about her. She even said, I love you, Mark.
I know. But they, like, I don't know. And she even says in this, like, going back to what we said earlier on him not really getting to know her, she says that. She's like, I loved how we connected. You made me feel not crazy because I always want to see John in some sort of sign. But you never brought me into that conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was meaning earlier, too.
Yeah. And then we see Mark, like, go up to all the guys and tell them, like, oh. And everyone's crying. I'm like, you guys know that, like, this is better for your chances.
I know, but it's Mark.
I know, and everyone's like, what? And I think everyone just expected him to go to hometowns. So it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, and I could tell that, like, producers probably wanted him to go to hometowns, but let's be honest, if he wasn't Kelsey's dad, he probably wouldn't have even made it this far because he just didn't open up, like, at all.
Yeah, that's true. But he's very good looking.
He is. He looks kind of like, is it Thor that I'm thinking of?
With the long hair?
Or like Zeus. No, not Thor. Not Zeus either. I'll show you later. Somebody out there is going to know who I'm talking about, but he looks like one of the superhero guys from Marvel or DC. I don't even know which one. I don't watch any of those movies. I just know that he looks like one. I'll find it, and you know what? We'll post the side-by-side on Instagram if it's actually legit.
it's like young Spider-Man and next to each other.
That's it, guys. I figured it out.
Oh, gosh. That'd be great. Yeah.
Jonathan and Pascal cried when he left.
I know. I just...
Pascal, his best friend.
Did not see Pascal making it further than Mark. And I didn't see Jordan making it.
Yeah. I haven't seen much between her and Jordan at all.
I literally went... whatever mm-hmm. she said. Jordan? I was like, what?
But you gotta admit, Jordan's one of the cuter ones.
Yeah, he is. He has this, like, vibe to him that I'm not vibing with. I don't know what it is.
And he has kind of, like, D-bag vibes, to be honest. Yeah, but
he does.
We haven't actually seen him be a D-bag. He just has those vibes.
I don't like it.
I totally get that.
Yes.
So did you have anything else to say about Mark and Joan and everything?
No.
Yeah, it was just really sad. And it was really sweet that he talked about how much he got out of the experience. And Joan is actually really good at letting people go, like, easy. Like, she's really, really good at it.
Yeah, she did a good job. But is he our next Golden Bachelor?
I don't know, because the thing is that he's only 57. So, like, what are they going to start doing? Like, even Trista Studdard, the first Bachelorette, she's 51. So, I know, right? So, she's only, like, what?
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Yeah. They should make him the Golden Bachelor and then have people that were, like, on the first few seasons of The Bachelor be contestants again.
Yeah, but I don't know how old a lot of them are because Triss is the first. So, like, but yeah, you're
but
right.
She's the first Bachelorette. She's not the first contestant to go on The Bachelor. Like,
that would be crazy. Yeah, if they brought back, like, I don't know if these people are single, but, like, Mary Delgado. I can't remember who else.
We're looking at Mary Delgado's age right now, and if she's married.
She's probably married. No, that's actually a cook. That's like, that's a survivor. That's a survivor mentality. It's like Game Changers or like Villains versus Heroes.
Bring them back. Mary Delgado is 56 years old.
Oh, hello. She's only a year younger than him then. Legend.
Well, she's married.
Boo.
Boo.
Let's try to get some of the divorce.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people like that from those very first few seasons could come back. That would be entertaining.
That would be, I love that idea.
I do too. And I think that they could dip down to 50. Like, not 40s. I feel like that's like, we've had some people on Paradise that are in their 40s. And Claire Crawley was 40, right? When she was the Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. So, like, don't dip into the 40s. But if you went down to, like, 50, 51, 52, like, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, for sure. That, call us, producers. We have ideas.
It has to be Mark or Charles L, unless Chalk doesn't win, and then it's Chalk. Like, they have so many options.
It could be any of the top four. Pascal season I would die for.
Yes. A Jack season I would die for.
He's low-key my favorite. I feel like Pascal is, like, the most... I don't know. I just get him.
Yeah, you really do like Pascal, and I'm not on Pascal's train, but you're the conductor.
I am driving the train. I'm definitely driving the Pascal train. I'm the conductor. Choo-choo. All aboard. Everyone get on. We're going to Paris.
Oh, my God. That was perfect. I'm like hanging off the back of that train, like barely on it.
You're like, I don't know if I want to be on this train.
I don't know if I just want to let go or get on. I don't know.
But can we talk about how the guys were so peanut butter and jelly of Chalk at the bowling date?
Yes, and we have a clip of all the guys being jealous of Chalk. Yeah. We'll play it now.
Bowling, it is clear that Chalk positioned himself well to be on her team and was sitting right next to her. Like the rest of us, he wants a hometown, so he's going full court press.
Chalk, he really wants it. He's not really holding back about that. Like, hey, just take it easy. Just hit the brakes a little bit.
It was in your face. Chalk and Joan together, like a couple. I mean, he has his arm around her shoulder, and she's snuggled up in the pocket of his arm. I'm like, whoa.
So obviously the guys were not happy about Chalk and Joan showing that they like each other.
She was snuggled up with him, though.
She's tiny. Well, I guess maybe compared to him, but he had his arm up on the back of the chair and she was literally like scrunched up in a little ball.
Yeah. Like she didn't care that anybody else was there, it seemed like.
No, I don't think she did. I don't think she did. And that's what makes me think that Chalk wins. Unless they're like hiding that stuff with other guys.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just was trying, maybe Chalk was being super aggressive and like she was just trying to please him.
Yeah.
But you knew who was the most mad about it was Guy.
Yes, that's what I was about to say, is Guy was like whispering to Chalk, like, hey, maybe let the others talk. Like, let's keep it a fair playing field. And Chalk was like, man.
That was wild when he said, hey, maybe let her talk to other guys.
I know.
I was like, jealous.
They were. But at the same time, like, I feel like they had a right to be because they were like snuggled up.
Yeah. I agree. But I just can't get it out of my head that I think Chalk is the winner. Like
I can't either.
I can't.
And can I just say that it's hilarious to see old men jealous?
It is hilarious. I thought it was so funny when Chalk got up to bowl and Guy immediately goes and swoops in and sits by Joan. I was like, there you go. That's how you got to play, honestly.
Yeah, just each time that guy gets up to bowl, someone else comes in. That would be hilarious.
But I think the guys, like, at this point, I feel like once we hear them on podcasts, if Chalk wins, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we saw it all along.
Yeah, we just wanted our screen time.
Okay, well, of course, we had to say goodbye. We already said goodbye to Mark, and we had to also say goodbye to Jonathan and Keith, and that was tragic.
Oh, my gosh. Like, she got rid of both of the one-on-one date guys.
It's almost like if there had been a rose, they would have been the guys who, like, got sent home.
Yeah.
During the date, but there wasn't roses, so it didn't matter.
I also totally thought Jonathan was going to hometowns.
I couldn't tell. I truly couldn't tell. But he was, what she said to him when she said, can I walk you out? And like what she said to him was, you were one of the first people here to be vulnerable and open up. And that helped me. That helped me be vulnerable and open up. And I feel like that was so true, because he came in talking about his high school experience, talking about feelings of rejection, all of that stuff right away. But it wasn't like in your face of like, let me tell you everything about me. Here's everything that's bad that's ever happened to me, like it is sometimes right. on the show. Yeah. It was very much like, I'm going to go ahead and be open and honest because we're here to get to know each other. And I thought it was really beautiful that that helped her open up, because I could see how that happened.
Yeah. He was one of the first to open up. I guess that's why I didn't like think he was going to leave before hometowns. I could have sworn we were going to get a Jonathan hometown.
It would have made more sense for sure.
Yeah, it would have. I just don't see Jordan. Like, they just haven't given him much to go off of. Like, his one-on-one date was like really short because of that episode was all about Chalk. Like, we didn't even talk about his date barely.
I really think she picked him because he's a handsome devil.
He is. Maybe he has a cool family.
And then we said goodbye to Keith, and that was kind of, I mean, I never really saw it between them, even when she gave him the first impression rose, to be honest.
He just wants to play bags.
What is that, cornhole?
To the beach and play bags. Yes, that's cornhole. I thought that's all he talked about.
Yeah, it was. That's what he said the first night, right? Where he was like, I just like to be on the beach playing bags.
Yes, and they played cornhole, and then they go to the kickball game, and he's like, I'd rather be playing bags.
It's his favorite.
The only thing absolute I learned favorite. About Keith is that he's a girl dad, because that was his title the whole entire time, that he likes to play bags, and he had a dream of being a Chippendales.
Yeah. I think overall chill, funny dude. He's probably like the most dad out of everybody there.
Yeah.
It was sad to see him go.
Yes. So we have our final four: Jordan, Chalk, Guy, and Pascal.
Yes.
These will be
I'm
fun
so
hometowns.
Excited.
Jinx.
They are going to be fun, but then the preview was showing people's kids being like, I don't think he chooses you, I don't think you're as into him as he is into you, but like all this stuff, like, and it could be just bait, like it could just be stuff that they said that they like, I don't know, they cut it that way or whatever. But I'm nervous, because you know, like, if parents are opinionated about who their kids date, kids are also probably very opinionated about who their parents date, especially if they lost a parent.
Yeah. No, I feel that they're going to, like, I feel like they're super protective because of that.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how Chalk's family is, knowing that they just lost a family member.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that, yeah. The whole dynamic of it.
I know. So now she's going to go and meet their family. They got to be on national television, like, days after they lost their loved one.
Yeah. Okay, it's going to be really interesting to see how all of that plays out. I hope that Pascal's family is as fun as him. I hope that Chalk's family likes her as much as she yes. likes him. I'm very interested to see Jordan's family. I'm very interested to see Guy's family, too.
Yes.
Him being a doctor, what his life is like back home and all that. So it'll be a really good episode next week. I'm excited.
I am, too. And speaking of hometowns that we didn't get to see, have mm-hmm. you seen Joey on Dancing with the Stars?
No, I haven't watched a single. I've seen it on Instagram. I've seen him moving his hips. I know he's doing good. I know he keeps getting the high scores. I haven't actually sat down to watch it, though.
Oh my gosh, you have to watch it.
Okay, I will.
I know that Jen's on it too, but like, Joey is just like blowing me out of the water.
Really?
Yes.
Like, he's going to be the first Bachelor to win, probably, if he
I
wins.
I hope so. I just feel like there's so much competition because Jen's on the show, too. So, like, Bachelor Nation's, like, split
divided.
Into different directions. And, I mean, Jen's a great dancer, too. She's not getting the scores that Joey's getting. But, like, I feel like Joey just, like, puts on a character every single time he dances.
Yeah, he's something in him, knows how to, like, perform.
Yeah, as you would say, he's got that dog in him.
He's got that dancing dog in him.
That dancing dog. Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for hanging in with us while we got this recap out. We know it's a little late. These are probably not. These will just be recorded when we can. But the Survivor ones, we're going to stick to a pretty good schedule. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to add for the audience?
Follow us on Instagram, binge.banter. Angela posted some funny things from Twitter on there. We're trying to grow our following, so spread the word and listen to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Binge and Banter. I'm Angela.
And I'm Emily, and we will see you next time.
Bye.